enjoying all the bugs that have come up now that summer's here officially? No one's enjoying that? Anyone notice how many more wasps are around than there were a couple weeks ago? We had a break-in in our house the other day, not an actual break-in, but a wasp break-in. And we had a little problem because shortly before that, we were kind of opening up the fridge, and up on top of the fridge is where we keep our bug zapper. You guys know the tennis racket-looking bug zappers you can get? Which are awesome. Anyways, but we opened the fridge and the rack had fallen on the floor, and some parts of the plastic kind of broke off, and those things are not really well made. Anyways, so we had kind of, you know, picked up the plastic, torn it out, put the thing back up on the fridge, no big deal. Well, when the break-in happened, and we had these wasps flying around the house, we wanted to make sure we go kill them, and pulled the bugs out, ran them, and I was trying to use this thing, and it was not working, right? And I mean, there's other ways to make it work, like if they get into a corner, you just squish them with the end of bug zap, and that's fine. But the zapping part wasn't working. And so Noah, who was trying to do the bug zap, I think it was, he gave me the thing, and he's like, it's not working, Dad. So I opened it up, and sure enough, inside, when it had fallen, because again, it's not well made, the battery compartment is pretty huge, and the batteries had totally got knocked off their little spiral things, and so there was no connection anymore. And so as soon as I kind of hooked it back in, fired it up and zapped it against something metal, it was working again. And we had power. And that has come in handy yet again, which is awesome. I love our bug zapper. But it reminded me of a science fair project I did years and years and years ago back in elementary school. When you know you kind of built, you guys might have done the same project, right? On a wood block, and you kind of set up a little circuit, and you have nails on it, and you connect them, the buzzer goes off, and the light turns on, and when you disconnect, you try different materials, it insulates, it doesn't go on, right? Because you need a connection to have power to do what it's supposed to do. And when you don't have that connection, it doesn't work. Now, last week, we talked about our connection with God and the importance, when we want to live in the Spirit of God, when we live by the Holy Spirit, the importance of being connected with Him. And the image that Jesus gave of the vine with the branches, and saying if a branch is connected with the vine, then it will produce fruit. But if a branch is removed from the vine, what's going to happen? Going to die. It's not going to produce anything. And so therefore Jesus said, listen, if you want to have your life be fruitful and purposeful and do the things that I've called you to do, you need to stay connected to me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you guys remember, that's awesome. So the importance of connection. The importance of our connection with God, staying connected with Him. And last week we talked about how important it is to be connected in order to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for living life in the way that He's called us to live. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea of connection today, but before we get there, let me just ask you, have you ever been in a time in your life when you have felt disconnected from God? Has there been a time when you have felt like maybe God is pretty distant, or there's not a whole lot going on in terms of intimacy in that relationship with God, but there's sort of a disconnect? Whether it's through a time of circumstances in your life, whether it's through a time of active choices in your life where you've chosen to go a different way, maybe at a time where it seems like God is just silent. Have you ever felt that sense of disconnection from God? Today what we're going to be talking about is how it is that the Holy Spirit comes along and actually helps to connect us with the person of God. How the Holy Spirit helps us be connected with God. And so we're going to spend some time in the Word to search that one out. But before we get there, let's just start with a word of prayer and ask God to speak to us today through His Word. And so, Father, we just give You thanks for today, for a new day. You told us that Your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we just want to experience that today. God, we pray that as we open up Your Word again, that You would speak to us through these words that You have given to us to pass through history, that through these You would speak with fresh life into the places we're living right now. Lord, open up our eyes to see in this text the things that we need to see. Open up our ears to hear the whispering of Your Holy Spirit to us. Lord, help us have courage and humility to respond to You today. Whatever way you're calling us to. We give You thanks for that. In Jesus' name. updates. We're going to start in verses 18 to 21, which is not, I don't think that part is in your handout today. Just to get us into this text, into this idea. So here's what it says. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Now, the second part of that, talking about the creation, we're going to kind of leave for right now. We're going to come back to that in a minute. What I want to focus on is the first part of that text. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So, two things to pick up from this. First of all, the reality with which we live is that in this world we will suffer. How are we doing so far? That may make a lot of sense to you with where you're living right now. There will be hard times in this life. As followers of Jesus, we will experience suffering as a part of this life. In fact, you know, it's so funny. You always see on Facebook and on posters and in Christian bookstores all the great posters of the promises of God, right? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Those kind of verses show up all over the place about the promises of God. The one that doesn't usually show up all that much is Jesus' promise when he said, in this world you will suffer, right? You will have hard times. This is what is going to come. In this world you will have trouble. There's a promise. That would be a great Facebook post, wouldn't it? Inspirational quotes of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. That is a promise. That's something that is going to happen. We will experience suffering. But, so that's the first reality we have to understand, is that part of our experience here is suffering. But Paul says, listen, but the suffering you're going to experience is hardly anything compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Our sufferings aren't even worth comparing to what the good stuff is that God has in store for us. So there's two realities here. In our current reality, we will experience suffering. But the bit of suffering we're going to have here, however tremendous and awful and brutal it seems, is nothing compared to the glory that God has in store for us. You with me? Now, here's the challenge. The challenge is that we live in between. We live in between the time when Jesus came the first time and started this work of God's kingdom being revealed, and we live in between that time and when he returns, and we get to experience the fullness of everything he has for us. Right? So we live in this space where we still have suffering, we still have problems, and we're still hoping for the glory that's going to come. We live in this in-between kind of space. So what do we do in between? What do we do in this place where we can still feel that disconnect from God, where we still can feel at odds with ourselves, with the world around us, with everything that's going on? What do we do in that space? Well, here's what Paul kind of goes on to say in Romans 8, starting verse 22, which is now in your handout as well. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. All right. You notice there's a lot of groaning going on in this text? It's actually our focus for today. Is three different groups or individuals, you could say, are groaning that Paul notes. First, he notes that creation is groaning. Creation, as we read in that first part of the text, is under bondage, not of its own doing. Creation didn't do anything to foul things up. Okay? We did. Adam and Eve messed up right at the very beginning. They caused us all to be under the bondage of sin, but not just us as humanity, but all of creation. become the fullness of what God has for them. Because when that happens, then creation is also set free. And it's the way it's supposed to be. So it's waiting, it's groaning for this to be revealed. Creation is groaning because it's undergoing, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And we can make this a social agenda kind of sermon. And we can talk about environmentalism and how we're putting all these horrible pollutants in the air and doing all kinds of things like that. And to a degree, that's true too. But it's bigger than just that. Creation is not fully alive as it should be. And it waits and groans until the time when God makes all things right. Creation, too, all of the earth around us, is living in the in-between time. Between when Jesus came to announce the kingdom and when he's going to fulfill it when he returns. But it's not just creation that's growing. We're growing. Sometimes, maybe you are actually literally groaning. Other times, maybe not quite so loudly. But we are groaning as we also wait. Now, we've been given the first fruits of the Spirit, Paul says. We've been given a taste, really, of what is to come. We've been given the Spirit to dwell within us and help us actually live out this life more fully than what we have before. And freedom from sin and all that kind of stuff. But there's still stuff in which we are bound. Because we still live in this world now that's not fully renewed yet. So we have the first fruits of the Spirit. It's the first taste of what eternity is going to be like. But it's not yet fully revealed. So we have this already and not yet kind of thing going on for us. Which is why he talks a lot about hope, right? Hope is something that one day we will no longer have. Have you ever thought about that? When God kind of fulfills everything, what need is there for hope anymore? Because it's actually not there. But right now it's not, so we look forward to. We hope for something. Hope that's already achieved is not hope anymore. Right? I hope I'm going to graduate. Congratulations, you graduated. Look at you, I know there's other grads here too, but you graduated. So there's you're no longer hoping to graduate because you graduated. Although officially that's not actually true yet until they get all marks back, right? Is that true? Yeah, okay. But basically you graduated, so it's all good. But hope is realized it's no longer hope. So we are looking forward still to something. We haven't got it all yet. The reality we live in is that we have the first fruits, the first taste, but not the whole thing. So we are groaning. We're groaning as we wait for that, the fullness of new life. And we feel the effects of our earthly life all the time. We feel it as we age and find out that we have new aches and pains that we didn't know could ever exist within our body. Right? We feel it as we see loved ones pass away. And no longer be in our life right here, right now. We feel it as we walk through suffering of all kinds. We feel in our bodies, very much so, the sense that we have not fully received everything that God has for us, yet we are awaiting the redemption of our bodies, Paul says. We've already been bought back, and in a sense our spirits have already been bought by God through the work of Jesus, but we're still waiting for our bodies to be fully renewed because they're not yet. So we still wait for that. And as we wait for that, we may not feel all that great, and so we groan. But we feel the pain of this. How do you feel it? How do you feel the fact that your body is not yet fully renewed? It's not fully restored into the way that God has created you to be. How do you feel it? All of us feel it to some extent, and so we groan inwardly because we feel a sense of disconnect from our hope and where we live now. We still wrestle with earthly realities in our body. We still wrestle with earthly realities of sin. We still wrestle with temptation. Sometimes caving into it, sometimes standing firm. Paul talks about this struggle, actually, just in the chapter 4 we're reading right now, chapter 7. This is what he had to say about it. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you hear it? Why do I not do the things I want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do? I love what's good, but I keep doing what's evil. What is wrong with me? Wretched man that I am. We still wrestle with earthly realities in our body. And we look forward to the renewal of our body. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? We have hope for a time when this will be renewed. But right now, we still struggle with the earthly reality we're in. One of the commentators I was reading this week had this to say. Just in this whole wrestling idea, this is because our redemption, while certain, is not yet complete. We're living in a world subject to corruption and futility. We're living in bodies subject to corruption and futility. We should be struggling with our own sin and imperfection. We know that what we are presently falls far short of what God yet intends to make of us when he completes his redemptive work in us. Humanity is groaning because we know the reality of what God has for us is not what we're living now. There's a suffering, there's a pain. There's a struggle that's going on with where we live right now that we hope will be different one day. That we have a hope for that through what Jesus has done for us, we will experience freedom. So we are groaning as we wait for that to happen, as we wait for all the heartbreak and the sorrow and the pain and the suffering to be done. We wait and we groan. I realize so far we're on a bit of a downer today. It's really quiet here. But there's good news coming, and it's coming right now. Okay? So here's the good news, which is going to maybe not sound immediately like good news, but there's someone else who is also groaning. Right? See, the Holy Spirit is also groaning for us. Now, I want to do that. I forgot to bring my flip chart today, but let's just do a quick brainstorm together. When you think of types of prayer, okay, because lots of people, you know, there's different types of prayer we can do. What are some different types of prayer that you've either done or you've heard of or you know of? Just throw them up real quick.
Lament,
okay.
Thanksgiving.
What's one over here?
Petition.
Supplication.
Confession.
Confession.
Intercessory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Worship. Sorry, what's over here? Complaint? Yeah.
Guidance.
Sorry?
Guidance.
Yeah. And we haven't even gotten into, you know, different types of ways of praying. These are just different types of prayer, which is great. What I want to key in on is one of them that was said, because oftentimes when we're praying, you know, we'll do maybe even something like, you know, the ACTS. I don't know if you guys are familiar with sort of the ACTS acronym. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So a place to adore God, a place to confess our sins to God, a place to be thankful for what he's doing in us, and a place to bring the things that we need help with to him, the things that we want to work on our behalf. But that's sort of me-centric in some ways, right? Me and God. And the other piece that comes in oftentimes that maybe is almost the most common form of prayer that we put out there or hear about is intercessory prayer, where someone else needs prayer for something, and we come alongside to intercede on their behalf. Kind of like a mediator, right? Someone who goes and acts on someone else's behalf. Well, mediator is a little different, but advocate maybe is a better way to put it. To intercede for them and bring their case before the throne of grace as we talk to God. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. The Holy Spirit comes along as an intercessor for us. He intercedes for us before God. Now, the reason to say the interesting part about the growing thing is that he groans on our behalf. He's groans. And it's in a space where sometimes we don't even have words. Now, you may find it very hard to believe, but there are times when I am speechless. nothing left to give, and there are no words left to actually speak. And the thought of actually saying anything in prayer is just not even there for you. And I think in those spaces particularly, but also beyond that, is a place where the Spirit comes and intercedes on our behalf with groans and utterings before the Father for us. Maybe we don't have words to pray, but the Spirit is there on our behalf to bring things before the Father. The Spirit is there to intercede on our behalf, just like we sometimes will intercede on behalf of someone else who needs prayer. The Spirit intercedes for us, and this is a great thing because the Holy Spirit of God knows us very, very, very well. And probably better than we actually know ourselves. And you say, well, that's probably not true. Well, my guess is that you don't know yourself as well as you think you do. And I say that because there's always things going on in us that we don't necessarily see. Sometimes other people see stuff in us that we can't recognize, right? And sometimes when they tell us that, we don't really like to hear it very much. But there's a lot in us that we are not consciously aware of. And there's ways of exploring that at times. You know, you can do reflective things. You can start to look at yourself in different ways, understand cultural influences, family influences on your life, and understand yourself a lot better. But the thing is, the Spirit of God knows you inside and out. Knows all about you. Was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. God knows you intimately. And so the Holy Spirit searches out everything in you, all your hopes, fears, anxieties, every part of who you are, and then can bring that whole picture of who you are to the Father as someone who's interceding on your behalf. He knows us intimately well. Can bring things to the Father that maybe even you don't know or you can't express. The other part of it is, though, that's on one side, right? So it's great that the Spirit knows us that well. He's going to do an actual better job of praying for us than we can for ourselves. But on the other side of it, the Spirit also knows the heart of God and the will of God perfectly. Understands the things that God desires for us, the purposes and plans he has for us. So as he brings what is all the full picture of who we are to the throne of God, he also knows exactly what God wants for us and is able to intercede for that. For the goodness that God has for us. Are you with me? See, the Spirit, in a sense, is that perfect connector between the deepest part of who we are and the deepest part of who God is. As the Spirit groans on our behalf in this in-between time, the Spirit perfectly links our heart to the heart of God. And this is great news because we have someone who is doing this for us. We have the Holy Spirit who is willing to do this for us, to link our hearts with the heart of God so we can be connected. So what's significant about that? Well, I love how Paul kind of wraps up this section, and he talks about a few other things first, but he gets to this point in verse 31. He says, what should we say then in response to these things? What shall we say? What is our response to these things? Well, here it is. If God is for us, if God, who knows us intimately well and who knows his perfect purposes for our life, has made the intermediary between us and him, if God is for us, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against him? If God is for us, the one who formed everything in the universe, the one who knows you intimately, who made you as you are, who has a perfect plan for you and will redeem your body one day, if God is for you, who can be against you? Is there anything? Is there anything really that can overcome you? That's rhetorical. The answer is no. life of the Spirit, as we've been talking about over these months, is a great way to live because it's a way we live connected with God. And even in those places sometimes where we feel like God is silent or we feel like we have nothing to say, the Holy Spirit can still be interceding on our behalf. It doesn't mean we should stop praying. I mean, there's so much that's formed in us in prayer, and there's so much that we can learn about God in prayer that we shouldn't stop that practice. But it's great to know there's one who knows the heart of God, our heart, who's working on our behalf to keep us connected with God. So what do we do with this today? Well, the thing is, I don't have a to-do list for you today, other than encouragement to continue to choose to live life in the Spirit, live connected with Him. But there's no, here's a whole bunch of stuff you should really be working on or doing. Really what I want you to feel today is just to feel encouraged. To feel encouraged that no matter what space you're in, if you are in a space where you just really don't have it in you even to call out to God, you're just in a really tough place right now, know that there is one there with you who's interceding for you, who desperately loves you, who wants you to experience the fullness of what God has for you. I want you to just be encouraged that God did not leave you alone to walk this journey by yourself. He has given you the Holy Spirit to be with you. So choose to live life in the Spirit of God. You know, He made this way for us. He made this way for us to live at great cost to Himself. We're in a place where, as we talked about earlier, the sin of Adam and Eve has fouled stuff up for us, for the rest of creation. Sin has been introduced into the world, and we live with this reality, but God didn't want us to continue to have to live under the bondage of sin, so He sent Jesus to break that. He sent Jesus Himself, He sent into this world perfect humanity, perfect divinity, and He sent Him to take the penalty for all of the sin of the world, all of our sin, all of your sin, all of my sin. Keep it personal, on Himself, to take the penalty of that on Himself, to die, to pay the cost for all of our sins so we can be free. And so that one day we can experience the full redemption of our body, soul, spirit, every part of who we are when He returns. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus opened up a new and living way through His body into the holy place where God dwells so we can be connected with God. We can come in His presence. And He did that through dying on the cross for us. And so as we think about this idea of living life in the Spirit, it is so connected to what we're going to be doing during our worship response, which is coming to the Lord's table. Because this is the way that Jesus opened up for us to be able to have life in God and for Him to be able to pour the Holy Spirit into our lives. It all started with His sacrifice on our behalf. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to die for. So whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so we come to the table where we have just a bit of bread and some juice. And we take the bread that represents Jesus' body, which was broken for us. And we drink the juice, which is His blood that was poured out for us when He died on the cross for us. To remember that He died for you and me. To give Him thanks for that and for the new life He's given us. As a result of His death. And so as a part of our response time, we're going to be coming out to the table to eat the bread, drink the juice, and remember Jesus. thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. You died on our behalf so that we could have life in you. Thank you that we can remember what he has done for us as we come to this table this morning. Lord, meet us here as we come and receive again the bread and the juice, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, you sent us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us.